Hi there, this is Deb Evans with Social Geek Radio, and we're coming to you live from Houston, Baltimore, and Los Angeles tonight. And AK is on the line along with our guest in the green room, and it looks like our chat room's filling up with lots of guests. So, AK, how should we start the show tonight?
Well, I think we should start the show by warning everybody about Facebook Timeline coming tomorrow for business pages.
That is a good point. That is.
So if you didn't convert and you didn't want to, too bad, because it's happening, whether you like it or not.
So what will happen, let's say, saying it's social did not convert, and it goes live tomorrow. What will your cover page look like?
It's just a blank space, and it's not as big as it is the cover photo. It's like an inch black blank space, so it takes your picture that you have right now, whether it's a rectangle or a square or whatnot, and it puts it into a square, and it formats it so you have your two columns, but then at the top it's like a 2-inch blank space.
Mm.
So, and it's just nothing. It's just like the light blue background of Facebook. So it just kind of looks funny.
That's not good. That's like Deb's fear of dead air time.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Yeah, or anything bad on the web. So, and you can tell, too, because once you start going to some and seeing the images and then you go to the ones and you don't see the images, you know that they weren't ready.
They weren't ready. Not like they didn't have enough warning.
I know. We did our part to warn them, I feel like.
We did. And it's all about telling your brand story, and it's about using Facebook the proper way. And we're going to just cover that tonight a little bit and just stretch it about the brand story and introduce our guests that we have on the line. We have Joe and Phoenix from, the Los Angeles area, and Dot Studio. And I know I'm not going to say this right. Dot Studios. How do you say it, guys?
Dot Studios.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. It's great to have you guys.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So we met via LinkedIn through our friend Courtney, and I started peeking around at your website and looking to see, well, what is it that you guys do, this video management solution? And I love video. AK doesn't like video. You guys will learn that quickly. she doesn't like video.
Thanks. Throw me under the bus, Deb.
I do. Because AK is awesome at video. And Joe and Phoenix, you have to know, someone who doesn't like video happens to get on the local Baltimore news and does a dynamite job of it. But then, you know, just keep saying, I don't want to do video. It's like, she's awesome at it. So.
No, thanks. But
she doesn't like movies, you know?
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your company and how you guys got started and what it is that Dot Studios actually does in this entertainment technology company based in Los Angeles.
Sure. So let me start. So our company is called Dot Studios, and Phoenix and I are the co-founders of it. And Dot Studios is a company that renders services, and we create products that help brands and media producers communicate with their prosumers or their influencers. We like to call them prosumers more than we like to call them influencers, because we do deal with the online video space. And when we think about, you know, what the prosumer is, well, a prosumer is basically a consumer, an online video consumer that can create content himself, but also influence content and really guide it to a user base.
Yeah, and Dot Studios was founded in 2010. It's actually an interesting story. Joe and myself in 2009 kind of got into creating digital media online and entered a competition with Sundance Online and won an award and travel down the web series path at the beginning of, like, the whole Wild Wild West new online content revolution, and quickly found that there wasn't a specific workflow that we felt like really answered the needs of our peers, which are digital media producers and advertisers who are really trying to, you know, garner their audience online. So so Joe and myself decided we wanted to focus on workflows because, you know, in Joe's previous company, he came from a digital media background and, you know, he was known for his work, creating great workflows. So we really felt like we wanted to take what he already knew and apply it to the online space and really help, you know, our peers in the industry. So, you know, we always like to tout that, you know, the difference between us and those other content management system companies is that we're made by media producers for media producers.
Wow. I think and media is so interesting in all areas. So tell us a little bit about the companies or the customers that you work with and the type of media that you put together for them.
Yeah, so I think really we focus right now on delivering our products and really helping companies with their business models in terms of like how they deliver their content online and how they engage their audience. So we're working with a Canadian broadcaster right now as well as two film distribution companies. And what we're doing with them is we're really, one, taking our technology and integrating that as a way for them to be able to track their digital, manage their digital assets and track their digital assets online. And beyond that, they're able to really start tracking their audience as well as engaging their audience. We're testing our second product right now, kind of like a private beta that we're doing, and with the Viral Swagger. And we're testing that just before we do like an actual beta launch to see how, you know, our brands and our media producers are able to engage their audience. So it's not just anymore about them tracking or deploying content, but now they're able to really look at their social graphs or people, their social network, and how they can engage those influencers to really become advocates of the content that they're sharing.
Yeah, I think a sort of a good background to kind of look at. You know, when we first got started, there was a statistic that we used to talk to people a lot about just to kind of get them understanding where we were coming from. And that's, you know, we like to cite a Sundance statistics from, you know, you can look at statistics from 2007 onwards to 2011. I mean, you get like over 10,000 submissions to, you know, probably one of the largest film festivals in the world. And, you know, out of that 10,000 submissions, you only get 17 that get any kind of distribution. And out of that 17, sometimes only one or two really make their money back. And so, you know, we quickly learned that, you know, the problem is not necessarily creating more content. As a matter of fact, it's become really easy to create content. That's why we have a content problem, you know, where anybody could, you know, go to Best Buy and even use their iPhones to create compelling content now and edit it in prosumer type editing software and upload it to Vimeo and YouTube. So, you know, that wasn't really the problem that we realized, you know, needed a solution. The problem was how do you get eyeballs? How do you get an audience? You know, when there's so much content out there, how do you reach the people that really want to see your films and or your videos or whatever it is that you're creating on video? And so that's why we created a workflow that really helps you identify who are the people that really love your stuff, so that you can, you know, distribute it directly to them and engage them in a way where you're not just having a monologue with them, but an actual two-way dialogue where they're engaged and there's an incentive for them to be engaged.
Yeah, and I think just to build on that, like one of the questions we always get asked is, what's the difference between you and YouTube and what's the difference between you and Vimeo? And I think really they're great community-based content management systems. So, you know, it's really based around people being able to be a part of the community. With Dot Studios, we really felt like we wanted to give filmmakers, media producers, and brands the opportunity to have their own kind of, their own hub that they could integrate into their own websites and be able to track their audience that way, as well as bring in their videos from YouTube. So, you know, what makes this a little different is that it's more of a business model, their own kind of, I call it a battleship. I call it their own little battleship outside of being a part of a community. So it's really taking your Facebook community, your Twitter community, and bringing it into what you're doing as opposed to putting it inside of YouTube.
You know, and I've got a question for you. So when you described, I guess, YouTube and Vimeo and others as the content management systems. I guess when I've always thought about content, I've always thought about the message that, and I'm one of those that uses my video on my smartphone all the time and then uploads it to YouTube. But I always considered the content is the message, not the form or the platform that I'm using. So, I need to think about it a little differently the way you're presenting it tonight, and that's the first time I've ever thought of, you know, video as the content piece of it. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Well, I mean, video is the highest traffic content online right now.
Right.
I just got off another seminar earlier today where really, you know, I mean, we're having a real bandwidth issue right now, especially with operators when it comes to bandwidth providers like AT&T or Verizon, whoever it is, you know, because we're so multi-platform now. It's not all just going through your computer nowadays. And the biggest issue they're having is that now everybody's consuming video. And there's such huge, large files that, you know, they're having a hard time finding, you know, putting themselves in the value chain of how people are monetizing online video, because, you know, practically they're really not in the value chain. They're giving away bandwidth for free, essentially, because most of us have, like, unlimited bandwidth plans, right? So so video is really becoming sort of like the number one content online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that, and most of the things that you read about your blogs or your websites or Facebook pages or anything that, you know, it used to be you needed to have photo, you needed to have good content, quality information that you were providing, and then it was, well, you need great pictures, and now it's like everybody needs video. That's why I love teasing AK about video, because I love to whip out a camera at any time and be on the other end and film someone like AK or my guest and say, hey, let's just put you on video. Put you on the spot right now.
Well, I could totally do the filming part. I just don't like to do the on-camera part.
Yeah. But she does it so well.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'm really going to catch that reaction of AK looking at me like, I'm going to kill you, Deb. You did it again.
I'm pretty sure you've captured that before.
Yeah. So what advice to folks like myself who, okay, will use that smartphone and whip out that camera? I mean, what kind of video advice could you give to me of the content, the usage, the length? What kind of things should be part of that video content that I'm sharing with everybody?
Well, that's an interesting question. We kind of like to approach that completely from the other side, where I think the whole idea that it doesn't matter, right? I think that's where life has sort of somewhat changed in the new landscape, in that, you know, everything really is a valid voice. And so there is no sort of like, you know, when we first started with video online, you know, webisodes were really big because, you know, bandwidth issues and delivery issues were an issue, and attention span. You know, people weren't really used to kind of watching, you know, 3-minute or hour content online. I mean, you know, but now, I mean, you know, you look at Netflix, I mean, that's online delivery, and we're watching full-on movies, you know, through IP. So that's completely changed. So, you know, our perspective really is that where we're heading towards is that, you know, every story is valid and that every message is valid, and video is a great way to deliver that message, and that, you know, now tools are getting smarter, and we're, you know, having a hand with that and developing these tools, in the sense that now you can create your content, tell your story, and reach whoever it is that needs to hear it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. When you ask about, you know, like should your content focus be if you're using your phone, for me, I really find that short form content does really well online. And, you know, it always has. It's kind of where we started, you know, with the short-form content. And it's digestible. If somebody's on Facebook and they're, you know, they're looking at something, it's a quick, easy watch for them. You know, it's something that they can share that they know somebody else is going to watch because it's a quick, easy watch. So, you know, if you're using your iPhone and you're filming stuff and you're uploading it onto, you know, Facebook, or if you're uploading it to YouTube, for me still, you know, it's the short-form content that actually, you know, is something that's really digestible really quickly.
Well, I mean, because you're dealing with the limitations too, obviously, right? I mean, especially if you are using your phone, then you really can't upload something that's over an hour or an hour and a half, you know, let alone 30 minutes, you know, so you are dealing with that limitation to begin with, you know. But I think that's what makes it so exciting, is that from a storytelling perspective, I think storytellers are starting to adapt to the new mediums, and they're starting to realize that they need to kind of step out of the box a little bit in terms of, like, getting out of these formats where it's either a feature or a short.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think nowadays it's really easy to test your idea and take your iPhone and, you know, shoot some simple stuff and see what kind of response you get. And if you get a good response from that, then you say, okay, maybe I want to shoot a short now. And then, you know, let me see how well my audience likes the short and how much more of an audience I can build. And then from that, you know, you take it to, you know, maybe feature film if it's something that, you know, merits you wanting to shoot a feature film. You know, and there's a lot of case studies out there that really have shown that in terms of, you know, starting out as a small property and building themselves out into a larger, you know, brand that people want to digest.
Right.
I'm taking it all in.
Well, go ahead. Sorry, you were going to ask a question.
It's that dead air time, too. We don't want to over-talk each other. But we talk about stories, and we're talking about, you know, everybody being able to tell the story. Do you really think that every brand or business actually has a story that can be told via video?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
It's actually interesting. I was doing some brand integration with a series online that was for firefighters. And, you know, the brands that I was speaking to in regards to the show was directly related to the fire industry. And, you know, a lot of these companies now are creating training videos and creating videos with their founders talking about their products and talking about, you know, how they're received by, you know, different battalions across the country. So, you know, firefighters are now, I'm seeing firefighters picking up cameras and shooting in different battalions. So it's, you know, I think every business should be looking at video and should be using video as a way to interact with, you know, their audience and to attract a larger audience, because everybody wants to be able to, you know, get as much information as they can on the things that they're interested in, whether it's, you know, a bottle of water or it's, you know, a fire hose.
Right.
Yeah, well, I can see certainly where the fire industry or firefighters would have an awesome story to tell. I mean, they could capture some really great videos, you know, on the job that relate to the community. As I said earlier, I'm in Houston. So last year, we just had tremendous, tremendous drought and fires. And thankfully, through the social networks, the Facebook and the tweets and everything, I was able to watch what was going on in our area and be alerted if the fires were getting too close to my home. And I can't tell you how many individuals, just independent homeowners or the fire crew, were catching the actual fires and reporting everything via video. And I just, yeah. I lived for that. Every day I'm sitting at work and I'm looking at Facebook. Okay, where is it now? Because I could see those videos and I could see, oh, I know exactly where that is on 2920. Okay, and that's 10 miles from my house or 6 miles from my house. So I'm okay. So it certainly had a message and a story to tell there that definitely related to me personally.
Yeah, I think with the, you know, with the advent of social networks, you know, we're at an age where people no longer just want to take in a blockbuster movie. They want to tell their own stories. We're permitted now. We're allowed to really share who we are and what our stories are, you know, and educate each other and empower each other. So, you know, I think where we're at right now, video is, you know, when it comes to telling your story with video, it's no longer just a blockbuster movie. While they're great and everybody wants to go and watch them at the movie theater.
What's the name again?
Oh, Robert Cersak.
Yeah, Robert Cersak. I mean, if you know, viewers want to look him up, you know, there's a great TED Talks where Robert Cersak talks about this very subject. You know, he really talks about how we used to, you know, we basically in our lifetime, what we've experienced when it comes to media is something that we've actually outsourced to professionals. We've been used to that. You know, we've outsourced it to, you know, the studios, the networks, newscasters. And, you know, basically all it is really is that we've outsourced the validation to professionals. Because at the end of the day, all it is that it's you getting validated with what your story is. And that's why social networks have become so prolific and so popular, because the simplest like that you get with one posting on Facebook gives you the same feeling that you're getting when you're watching something that's incredibly moving on television or in the movies.
Or Pinterest, because I love Pinterest.
Or Pinterest, you know. And so we just kind of...
Uh-oh, God, she did it. She said Pinterest.
Does everybody who's listening have to take a shot of something now because you said Pinterest?
We won't let AK start talking about Pinterest yet.
She doesn't know video, but she loves video. Okay, getting a full picture of AK.
That's true, yes. I'm quite the Pinterest girl, just not the video girl.
But it's really fascinating because, you know, now, you know, because it's so democratized, you know, this tool where it was so previously so reserved to professionals is now really readily available for everybody. And we're able to tell our own story. And that's what makes it super exciting.
And go Apple for democratizing the, you know, us into the age of consumer products that really kind of, you know, speak to the generation of us who want to tell our stories however, whenever.
Wherever.
Well, we have a question in our chat room for you guys. And the question is, how does your service benefit the independent filmmaker?
How do we benefit the independent filmmaker? Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, right, it's in two ways right now. One is from a product perspective. I mean, we are gearing up to launch a version of our product that's more open to the filmmaker on a price level structure and also an accessibility and ease of use level as well. We're working our way towards that because we are a startup. You know, we kind of have to start at the top and really service more enterprise clients, which is great because we got to test drive our products in a good way and really beta test it correctly and really know that it's working well. So that's the one end. On the other end is a lot of it is kind of just doing these talk shows like this and kind of opening a lot of filmmakers' eyes in the sense that this is a time where it's really unique in history where they have a lot of opportunity to really reach an audience like never before. You know, again, if you look at the film festival statistics, you know, if I were to take a short film, I may get lucky and get thousands and thousands of viewers, you know, across the country, but how much is that going to cost me in terms of how many DVD screeners do I have to burn, how much travel costs do I need to do, how many submissions do I need to do every single film festival, compared to uploading a video to YouTube where now all of a sudden you can get millions and millions of hits. Now what we're interjecting is a way for you to actually monetize that.
Yeah, and I think the benefit to an independent filmmaker, you know, once we release that Studio Pro, which, you know, we're looking to do a full release on that, the benefit to them is, one, most people nowadays are using WordPress, they're building their sites, you know, filmmakers are creating their sites, creating Kickstarter campaigns, you know, putting up their cast and crew and putting up videos online. You know, what we've done is we've made it really unique for them that they'll be able to, on the back end with that Studio Pro, upload all their content, and they can start A-B testing their content. So they can put content up online, and most filmmakers or editors are working with, you know, a team of editors and producers. They'll be able to put up snippets of their content online. They'll be able to see how well they're engaging, you know, their friends on the social graph, on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, if they see that there's a huge drop-off rate at, like, a minute and 3 seconds into the video, they can bring that video, they can take that video down, re-edit it, put it back up, test it with their audience, see how well their audience is receiving it. And beyond that, you know, I think one of the other things that will be of benefit is, you know, when we release Viral Swagger for the filmmakers, because they'll be able to start creating their own digital campaigns so that they can engage their audience even further by incentivizing them. So essentially, you know, filmmakers are now, instead of just going the film festival route, which is great, they can actually release their content online, track it online, see how well they're doing, test their content, and create rewards, you know, for that content that gets people to share that content for them. So there's some benefits for filmmakers.
There, yeah, it sounds like there's lots of benefits. That's really great. And so kind of backtracking a second to, you know, you guys being a startup and, you know, kind of getting the business started, who would you say are other sort of innovators in the field, in the digital marketing industry, that inspire you guys and that kind of maybe help sort of in some way, you know, guide your inspiration throughout the process of starting the company?
Yeah, sure. There's a company that I love, and, you know, I just love pretty much everything that they do, really. You know, it's a company called HubSpot. They don't really deal so much with video,
but they deal
with social marketing and social media. And you know what they've done is really sort of really aggregated all the best tools together in a dashboard. In many ways, we kind of emulate a lot of what they've done in regards to social media, you know, with video on our side.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting, Joe. You know, when we first started, what inspired Joe about HubSpot was the founders, you know, they're very personal with their audience. And the founders said that, you know, the reason that HubSpot was created is because there was a problem that kept them up at night. And for us, being a self-funded company and knowing since 2009 that this was an issue that we wanted to solve, it's kept us up at night. Literally.
Yeah. Another company that we really like too is a company called Envato. They may be a little bit less known, but they really rank really high in Alexa ranking as well. They have several sites, and a lot of them are tutorial sites, you know, PSD tuts. They also have WordPress themes called Theme Forest,
Video Hive,
and basically, you know, they're a marketplace for various things, you know, for, you know, After Effects files, for title intros, for themes, and we really like them because they're self-funded, and also they're a husband and wife team, so they kind of mirror us to a certain extent, and we've tracked how they've, you know, become really successful too by basically launching really small applications and small sites and iterating from that and then just really dealing with their users and growing, you know, from a lot of user feedback.
Yeah, they really taught us a lot about iteration, which, you know, is something that, especially when you're self-funded, is really important, is to, you know, get something out there, test it, see how it's received, and then, you know, look at how you can scale from there. And Envato's really been amazing at doing that, and they've definitely grown as a really innovative company over the years with their products.
Hmm. You guys mentioned HubSpot, and AK and I have we like HubSpot, and we like the folks there. And they've got some, and as you mentioned, their videos, they've got some quirky videos that really helps tell the audience about their culture, their company. I know they were putting some out a while back that just would make you just roll over and laugh and want to work at a company like that. So tell us a little bit about your company and your culture and folks that you work with. So I've talked to the two of you, and I've talked with Courtney, but I don't know that I really have a good feeling for your all's personality.
Yeah, well, we're pretty diverse. You know, I'm originally from Canada. Phoenix is originally from Canada, and I'm of West Indian descent. And Joe's from the Philippines originally, and he's lived all over the world. You know, is also from Canada. The last time before the States now is Canada. And our partners are also they're from Vancouver. Selena Pascalidis, who is our CFO, head of marketing. She's Greek and Italian, right? She's Greek and Italian, and she speaks Japanese. And he's Chinese. And then we have our developers, which are all from their fellow
Belarus. The beautiful city of Minsk. So, I mean, we have developers locally as well. So we have a development team in Belarus. So, our culture right now is really one of a Skype culture, really.
Yeah, it really is like a Skype culture at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we're an international team, and we all communicate via Skype. Another thing that, you know, we feel is very similar to the way Envato got started as well, since, you know, they had all the developers and everybody working for them, you know, spread out across the entire globe. So, you know, we're really kind of pushing the envelope with what we can do with, you know, remote working environments. But I think we've got a really, really great culture and, you know, and great communication amongst all of us and all the various different locations.
Yeah, and I think a little bit more about our cultures. We all come from some form of entertainment background, whether it's editors, directors, producers, finance, writers, you know, PR. We all come from, as well as technology, so we all come from an entertainment background. So we're all diverse in that way, and, you know, there's some weekends where we're out shooting, you know, a short, or there's, you know, Joe and myself also play music, and I sing, and he, you know, he writes and plays the guitar. So, you know, we like to just really be creative. So I think that's a really big part of our culture is expressing your creativity and encouraging people to be very creative and not feel like they're boxed into just technology, although that's who we are from an entertainment technology perspective. We're really about empowering people to be creative.
You can tell that you guys are so passionate about what you do. That's awesome. It's very exciting to hear. You definitely have lots of excitement that I can tell would make anybody really want to work with you guys. Yeah. So can you share with us an example of a successful campaign that you've implemented for brands? Like, who was their target audience? How did you help them? Did they have an ROI? All those good things.
Maybe you should talk about OutTV.
Yeah, right now we're working with a client, OutTV, and they're a Canadian broadcaster. And, you know, I think the first goal with us was really about making sure that all their digital assets were in one place and helping them to build on their, you know, their social graph by being able to track that. So I think that, you know, in terms of, like, where our first product, .studio, comes into play, that's really, you know, that was something that we were given a great opportunity, and we really love the CEO of that company. He's taken a really great chance on us, and, you know, being able to work with OutTV, which is like a niche broadcaster who, you know, really wanted to be able to, like, have everything in one nice place as opposed to, you know, using a lot of different softwares. He felt like he really just wanted to be able to, like, have it in one place. From a brand perspective for OutTV, our product really helped and answered the needs that he had in terms of being able to really, like, manage his digital assets and really look at how his audience was really communicating with him to see how he could scale from there.
Very good.
And then just, you know, as a side note, .studios has been nominated as a finalist for ad tech. And we just happened to, as a self-finance company, again, I always say that because we're really fortunate to have had Toyota sponsor us. Toyota Scion sponsored us to go out and compete next week in ad tech. So, you know, it's kind of interesting because ad tech is all of that digital marketing. And, you know, we're getting a great opportunity to put together, you know, a hypothetical pitch against a brand right now. So for the rest of our product. So there'll be more to come in terms of that conversation that you're asking for brand success with .studios.
Tell us a little bit more about the ad tech. I'm on the website now, and I'm sure the audience isn't real familiar with that whole process. I see here it says 16 startups, 6 judges, 4 categories, who will win. What is that? What does all that mean? So give us the scoop on what this Ad Tech San Francisco is all about.
Okay. Well, thanks to Courtney, who also set up this interview. We love Courtney Newton. She's awesome. She's been with us for a while. She's like family here. We were given the opportunity to, we were chosen as one of 16 companies to compete in a digital marketing competition. So basically the competition is that each company in each of the categories has to put together a hypothetical brand pitch around centered around whether it's a consumer electronic or a, you know, a automotive company, and we have to basically pitch how our technology would work with a digital marketing campaign. So, and the thing about ad tech is if any of your users out there are familiar with, from the film perspective, there's, you know, the American film market, there's NAFTA, there's MIP, then, you know, from the, you know, consumer electronics, there's CES, there's NAB. Ad tech is basically that of the digital marketing world. So, you know, it's something that happens across the world at different times throughout the year, and just so happens right now that San Francisco is happening next week, and .studios has been given the opportunity to be highlighted as a finalist to compete, to basically be touted as whether or not we win. I mean, you know, but the goal is to win.
Mm-hmm.
But be the most innovative in the digital advertising space or digital marketing space. So, you know, ad tech
and
video, yeah, obviously, because we're a video company.
category.
Yeah, our category is video. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, ad tech last year in, like, the social media division in that competition, Clout was one of the winners in that division.
Okay. Huh. So when it says that you pitch your platforms as if you were competing to a real client, are you pitching this in front of these judges?
We're in front of the judges and audience, and lucky for us, we're actually also going to be pitching it to Toyota, because Toyota is coming to see us pitch.
Right. that's cool. Huh.
I'm excited.
And I would think a little stressful?
You know, I don't think it's stress anymore. I think at the beginning of the year, we had, as a company, we all, you know, talk about company culture. We all got together and really tried to hone in on what we wanted for ourselves in the first 6 months of the year. And we all really wanted to look at how we were going to take ourselves to market by the spring, summer of this year. And this coming along, like maybe 3 weeks after that conversation, really just kicked us into overdrive. And so I don't think it's a level of stress. I think that this is something that we've been like building towards. So it's like a relief finally, to be able to get out and spread our wings a little.
Well, as AK said earlier, you can tell through your passion and your enthusiasm of what you do. So really you're doing your job, you're pitching what you guys seem to love and do best. So that's exciting.
It's been a labor of love for almost 3.5 years for us.
Yeah, we thought this was going to iron itself out in 3 weeks.
Oh, you were one of those launch businesses. Yes, we'll make money overnight.
Yeah, right.
I'm living that dream. Doesn't really work.
A lot of our viewers ask us all the time. They're like, I guess this is what you guys would consider like your feature film, huh? Because we started as a short film that turned into a web series, and here we are. We kind of forego doing the feature film and decided that we were going to grapple with technology. So this is kind of our feature film for us.
Wow. I'm just sitting here looking through the – so that is – what does it say here? You're right, and next weekend, April 3rd,
yeah.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday at 5 p.m. on the stage, Moscow Center, Joseph the Small will be pitching our platform.
And then how soon will you know who the winner is?
That's a good question, and I don't think I really want to know yet.
Yeah, we're not past Tuesday yet. In our mind.
I want to watch live. I'm sitting here perusing the website, and I don't see any Ustream or anywhere I can click and be there, even though I'm in Houston. That would be just fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think they stream it live, but I think they actually, our presentations are all going to be public by
Tuesday morning.
Oh.
So before you get to pitch, people can actually look at our presentations. I think they might actually be putting up the PowerPoints or a PDF version of it,
On Tuesday.
And I think they do air stuff after the fact, so maybe there's a possibility that it will be on video. I don't know.
We've tried not to dig too deep, just enough to get there without, that's part of, the not getting stressed out.
Right.
Okay. I won't go there.
Dad, you need to go there and you stream it for them.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, if you'd like, we have extra tickets, so, let us know.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll just hop on a plane and do the live stream thing. I could do that. No problem.
You're awesome at that.
I'm awesome at that. Just don't put me in front of the camera. Cool. So now, do you do other kind of networking events like this one?
Yeah, Joe's spoken on a couple of panels, and we've been invited to a couple of different conferences to speak. Joe talked on a Digital LA panel. He was invited to the IPTV World Forum last year in London. There's a couple other coming up, but I think Courtney has a schedule on those. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to get out there a lot more now since, we're launching, but in the last year and a half, we've really kind of sort of been a little bit in the development cave, so I think for us, that's why we're not really that stressed about the AdTech thing. I think it's kind of like, we just talk to people live. So we're excited to actually, show people what we've been doing for the past 2 years.
Well, and I think it's kind of interesting. This is kind of like an over anniversary for us, because if we look at where we started in 2009 with the content web series, it was April of 2009 that Joe and myself really decided that we wanted to move in the direction of technology. So it was kind of like a little bit of a celebration for us. April 2012, we're introducing our products.
I don't think we really decided. Yeah,
that's
when we started.
Yeah, that's when we started.
It sort of happened. And here we are.
And it sounds like a good journey.
Yeah.
It's been a great journey. Absolutely.
Yeah. good working relationship, which is very important in today's world. And I love the way you say you've got a Skype culture, because there are so many virtual offices today. And I've been doing a lot of video Skype with one of my business partners. And we couldn't do that a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it really, you know, I'm seeing, you know, this kind of culture actually permeating the film world even more.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, I think as we really move into a lot more, you know, cloud computing and, you know, cloud applications that can really run heavy-duty software. I mean, I even see, you know, cloud editing becoming a reality very soon, you know, where you can collaborate and edit your movie together online. And I really think that there's going to be production teams that are going to be so diverse from all different kinds of places around the globe creating content together. You know, I think we're going to see that pretty soon.
I have a question for you guys, and maybe you can help me. It has to do with video, but you see so many video interviews where there's the split screen. So, like, I would be interviewing you right now. We would both be on video. Do you know of those platforms, and as somebody that's launching to do that type of thing, whether it's AK and myself, do you have any suggestions of what we could use?
Are you talking more like the Google group chat where people can kind of all chat together?
I love Google Hangout. That's pretty cool, you know, and to be able to do those kind of conferencing. But I'm trying to think, you know, if we wanted to take the Social Geek Radio to a different platform other than what we're using now with the audio conferencing, where we could be in three different states, have multiple people on the line, recorded, and then it's archived on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. If I wanted to take that to the next level and we wanted to do this via video, I'm just starting to do some research. Okay, well, what if any platform could we be using? And I just wasn't sure if you were familiar with type of media.
But none of the live streaming sites do that, like Justin or Ustream or Live.
But the problem would be, so if you used Ustream, it's just pushing the information. The audience could watch, and they could participate via chat. So, yeah.
I think there could only be one of us that way, right?
Yeah, you could do split screen. And I know, I think there's a one called Uvu, which I looked at it once before, but I haven't gone back to look at it in a while.
You do know if we went, took the show to video, you'd have to find another co-host.
Oh. See, I didn't throw her under the bus. She jumps under that bus.
I didn't realize we were going to break up on this show.
Okay. Well, I'm just investigating, AK, and I thought these wonderful people could help you overcome that.
Uh-huh. How am I going to do Blog Talk Radio in my pajamas if we're on video?
See, Phoenix and Joe, now you hear how AK does Social Geek Radio. And actually, I will tell you a secret that is very public, because when we started with the Google Hangout and we were all testing it, AK and myself and a few other friends, I'm sitting there, I wasn't in my pajamas almost, you know, on my kitchen table, and these videos are popping up. Hey, you want to hang out? It's like, sure, sure. And next thing I know, I'm hanging out with five different people. Some are sitting on their beds with their laptops and their headsets on. Some of us are eating dinner. And it's just like, okay, this is quite an experience. And thankfully, nobody recorded it.
There's another way of telling stories, right? And you're telling stories the way you want to tell it, how you want to tell it, and when you want to tell it. You're in your pajamas. And I think that's the beauty of things like Skype and Google Hangout is, you know, people get to accept you for who you are, however you are.
But I will tell you, there was a really good blogger that, and AK, I think you remember this too, we were reading this person's blog and really, really thought a lot of this person. And then they did a video. And then and then you're secretly saying they should never go live. They should
That's what I'm scared of.
That's what.
That would be me.
We don't want to be those people.
I know. And then you would secretly be, like, emailing Laurie and be like, oh, my gosh, did you see AK's video?
We need people like Joe and Phoenix to help us out, you know, to be able to tell us, you know, put that workflow together and that, and they would tell us, wouldn't you, Joe? You would tell us, okay, Deb, step away from the camera. You don't need to be in front of it any longer. I can tell.
You know, I might do something different, though, because I might think that, you know, that might be the video that goes viral and gets you guys, you know, even more user, even more people interested in who you are.
See, and AK, you don't know, but Joe and Phoenix and I had this call with Courtney, and she's behind this plan, evil plan, too. And there's a spy camera on your laptop right now, and we've captured everything. So
they're going to see the faces that I'm making at you, and the eyes rolling. Yes.
Yeah, and Toyota is behind it as well. So
part
of their plan next week.
Great. So glad
okay, well, I think you guys got a feeling for, you know, how we are in our culture. We're coming up to where AK shares a Geek It Out segment with our audience. But before we disappear, we want Phoenix and Joe, please share all of your links and where do you want them to go, to your Facebook page or your website. Give us your social platform handles, please.
Yeah, so you can tweet us at Studios Inc. Hashtag us at hashtag.studios. And for Facebook, you can just find us inside of Facebook.
Facebook.com/.studios.
Yep, as well as .studios.com is our website.
Very good. Yep, but I'm on your Facebook page now. I really wish you guys the best of luck. And I'm going to be watching next Tuesday and looking for tweets and looking for the news and anything that I can find to see how you're making out. But I think you're going to do well. I can just feel it.
Thank you.
And Courtney, I think you're listening somewhere there in that studio or back. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. You guys have been great, and I'm anxious to have you back to give us a recap on what you're doing next.
And you guys, I think what you guys are doing is amazing, and we're grateful to have people like you in the space who, you know, get the word out about startups and about social media, and thank you guys for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great evening. And now we will roll right into Geek It Out.
Really?
And before we get into that, AK, we're going to have to admit to Dana that we were talking about him earlier, our online director, Dana Lopez, and when, you know, we might do that thing in Michigan, and we had this fear that people would tell us to get off the stage, and Dana would be popping up behind us saying, no, geek it out, don't, you know, go away.
Yeah, geek it out. I can see the signs and hear the chant right now.
I think I could, too. So, all right. So we have to geek it out time now.
All right. Okay. So the first site is watermarquee.com. So watermarquee.com. And this one is basically you can just, you don't have to download anything or sign up for anything. You can just hit try it free. And you can put your own watermark on your images. So a lot of times, if it is your own graphic or image, of course, especially for sharing pictures on Facebook where people tend to reshare them if it's something really good, I always like to tell people to either watermark it with their website or their Facebook page, because sometimes if it keeps being shared over and over again, then you lose where it originated from. So if it's something that you have put together or it's a graphic that you have purchased and you own the rights to, just come into a tool like this. There's lots of tools out there. And upload it and put your watermark on it so that when it's re-shared, people can find you.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to pin the site, AK, and it won't let me.
It's probably because it doesn't have any images. You can use the pinned page from last time and pin the whole page.
Oh, I forgot what that page was.
It was, oh, Snappito, SNAPITO.com.
Oh, okay. See? I knew we'd get Pinterest in there.
Of course. Oh, you know what that reminds me, actually? I was watching the talk this afternoon, and they said, and you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Pinterest.
Ooh.
And I thought that was so funny because it's the first time they used to say, you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.
And today they substituted Pinterest for Twitter. So I thought that was a very interesting little switch there.
And I forget what site I was on. Oh, it's going to kill me now. I was on the site thinking, oh, this is perfect for Pinterest. Where's the pin? Where's the pin? And they didn't have anything on there. It's like, oh, you're missing out. You're missing the boat.
I know. I added the, I redid my blog and I changed my share buttons on my blog so that it would have a pin button included.
I'm busted. I didn't do that. Okay. I like that site.
All right. Okay. Yeah. The next one is kind of fun and goofy. It's another, I've been finding that Google has all these like secret websites and tools that they don't advertise very well. At least I don't find them usually. But, kind of like that, I forget what it was I shared before. It's like Google Think or something. But anyway, this one's googleinsidesearch.com/caption. So googleinsidesearch.com/caption. And you go here, and they have cartoons that have been created about Google. And it's the premise of, you look at the people in the cartoon and what's happening, and your caption revolves around what would somebody in the cartoon be searching on Google. So you can put your name in, you can submit your caption, and then just for fun, people can go in and you can vote on the favorite caption.
Okay, we're getting error messages, and I see that Dana did as well. So let me see. Why?
Try Google Inside Search. .com/captions.html.
Oh, .html. Bonus! Okay. Thank you. See, that made a big difference. So, let's look at this. Oh, so cute.
You
can
probably see different, I think you always see different ones. So you can flip through them with the arrow, and it's just kind of amusing. And, you know, what I was thinking I might do with this is, I mean, there's a cartoon by, so I guess as long as you kept the credit to it, you could just kind of do right-click and do save image as and post it to a Facebook page and say, you know, here's a, you know, add your own caption and as a post for your Facebook page for the day.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's actually something legitimate that you can do, so look into it before you say, AK told me I could do this, but...
AK said, and if AK said that, then it must certainly be true.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, but I don't want to get sued by anybody. So.
Oh.
Yeah. And actually, while you're on this page, in the sort of the upper right-hand corner where it looks like the page is flipped down, if you click on that, it brings up google.com. You don't have to type this in. It brings up under the hood from Inside Search. And it actually tells you all about the evolution of Google search and sort of an in-depth look at what goes into people searching. So for web development and for, you know, people who are thinking about all of that with search engine optimization, it's actually more information than people actually think is usually available when you talk about Google search algorithm and just saying it's a magic algorithm and we don't really know what goes into it. There is a lot of good information on here.
I don't know how you find this stuff. It just always baffles my mind.
I'm just that geeky.
You're this is true.
Yeah. All right. The next one is, this one's fun, priceonomics.com. So P-R-I-C-E. O-N-O-M-I-C-S, Priceonomics. And this is for if you're thinking about selling something used or buying something used, and you want to kind of figure out what the fair price is. So you don't want to pay too much or you don't want to price something too much. You can put in the product, and it will tell you the fair price, and then it gives you an acceptable price range, and it gives you the actual data that it used based on current items that are for sale through various classified ads.
My eBay family would like to, would need that site. My son believes he can just sell everything on eBay, and there's a price, you know, and it's like whatever he decides he wants to price it at.
Yeah. Exactly. So you'll know if you're getting a good deal or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to buy AK's really old original iPad, please feel free to contact me. Thank you. Okay.
How old can the original iPad be?
You would think it wouldn't be that old, but you know, it's like 3 years old now.
Oh. You still are using the original? You don't have an updated one?
No. I know, I shouldn't admit that, but it's true.
Well, you did admit to having that cell phone of whatever it was that you had for.
That was horrible. I know. I'm so embarrassed. Okay. All right. The next site is replies.com, which is replyz.com. And all you do here is hook it up to your Twitter, and it pulls out all of the questions that the people that you're following on Twitter have asked on Twitter. So anytime somebody has tweeted something that includes a question mark and does not include a URL, it'll actually create a dashboard for you of the questions. So not only can you go in and then answer questions and be sort of that helpful person, it actually also shows you all of the people that have responded to that question on Twitter. So if it happened to be a question you also had, you can see all of the responses. Yeah, so it's cool. And I've been using it for a couple days, and it does, depending on how many people you're following on Twitter, it takes a little while for it to actually populate, and you'll keep getting this waiting message. But I think with mine, it only took like 20 minutes. It's real legitimate questions. And, of course, some people ask sort of like rhetorical questions or, you know, it's not always really relevant content that you want or need to be answering. But if you scroll through, I have found, you know, a handful of questions here and there where I actually started engaging in good conversations with people where otherwise I probably would not have seen their questions.
So a question for you. Mm-hmm. Would you use this faster than you would the question and answer feature on LinkedIn?
Well, no.
Okay.
Just because I think they're kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can search this one. But this is people who are kind of just haphazardly throwing a question out to the wind.
Right.
I think for LinkedIn, if people want more thought-provoking questions, mm-hmm. or they're asking more thought-provoking questions, and they want a more thoughtful response. So I think it's kind of two different animals.
That would be my thought, but yeah. I had to throw that out there. And it's two different audiences, LinkedIn most times, and Twitter.
Yes. So, and I found on Twitter, too, if you go and you reply to somebody and you don't always, you don't have a standing relationship with them already, some people just completely ignore you and say, like, you know, I get the vibe. It was sort of like, why were you answering my question? You know, who gave you permission to talk to me? And I'm like, you know, you asked that question to the public. Like,
that's right.
Not your private, you know,
podcast
conversation. And so sometimes I feel kind of creepy doing it, but
I know.
Okay. I like people answer my questions. So.
Annoying Blog Talk Radio operator is telling us that we have to go. So, AK, are you going to have an Ask AK show tomorrow? Should we be tuning in?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to a business competition, so I will not. Not for me, for somebody else.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah,
well, that's
so I'm
good
glad
to know.
That
Dana and I aren't sitting there wondering, where's AK? Where's
yes,
AK?
Yes, I'm
where's
sorry.
AK?
My two
okay.
audience members.
No, we were, you know, it's like, whoa, I don't know, where is she?
know.
And, you know, we get a little paranoid and we worry. So thank you, everybody. And I'm so glad that we had our guest earlier tonight. And we will catch you guys next week. Same geek channel, right? Same geek time. Okay. Have a good night, Egg. Bye.
Bye.